Hi, I'm Francesca, a registered nutritional therapist, and you're listening to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. Welcome. My aim is to bring you down-to-earth, conversational episodes that help you develop a deeper understanding of how your body's changing in your 40s, and most importantly, how you can support yourself throughout this wonderful transitional phase of your life. Join me for my solo episodes and also episodes with guests for fun, fresh, truthful chat on all things health and happiness in your 40s. And now onto the episode. Hi, and welcome back to another episode with me, your host, Francesca. So today I want to give a little update on creatine and collagen because these have become two of the most talked about supplements in women's health, especially in perimenopause and menopause. But with popularity, of course, that comes a lot of confusion, that conflicting advice that we're seeing everywhere online, social media, and of course, a whole load of marketing hype. So once things become popular, there's all these different brands coming out that want to sort of jump on this bandwagon. And that can lead to a lot of random stuff that we're seeing that looks really attractive and really cool. And we just don't know, is this something I should be using, taking, you know, which brand to look for and so on. So in this episode, I'm going to be sharing up-to-date evidence-based information on both creatine and collagen, as they are the most popular right now. We'll be looking at what they actually do, who they're most helpful for, how to use them wisely, do you need to be using them, are they worth it, etc. So I have an episode that I've done previously all about collagen. I'll link to that in the show notes if you did want to go into that one as well, where I just go into a little bit more detail of the different types and things like that. So I will be touching on the different types today anyway, but if you find that you just want to go a little bit deeper, then you can listen to that episode as well. So let's start with creatine. We tend to think of creatine in terms of muscle building and performance enhancement in the gym. And whilst, yes, that's very much what it is helpful for, there is a lot of new research about how creatine can be really helpful for brain, cognition, mood, and all of the things that we really need to be supporting as we move through perimenopause and into menopause, and energy as well. A recent study, for example, looking at the effects of creatine supplementation on brain health, on cognition, found that creatine improved brain energy and reaction time in both perimenopausal and menopausal women. I don't know about you, but in the last year for me personally is when I've really learned what brain fog actually is and what slower reaction times and lower brain energy actually are. So obviously we knew they existed, but I've never actually experienced it in the way that I have in the last year. Walking into a shop and forgetting what I walked in for within a couple of minutes, opening a tab on my computer and just literally in a split second, just not knowing why I opened it. Struggling to recall words, recall names, put sentences together in the moment when you're talking to someone. And I find I've got something in my head, but I can't get it out. And because my brain is just not connecting as efficiently as it was before. This is a really big problem for so many women moving through perimenopause and menopause. And it can be really alarming as well at times. But if you understand what's going on, that can take the alarm away, which is why I like to educate people on the things that we may experience as we move through perimenopause and the mechanisms as to why they're happening, just to help, if anything, at first, to take that alarm away and just ground us. Like, okay, there's a reason for this. And now what do I do to support it? So as estrogen declines, particularly later in mid to late perimenopause, our cells in our brain and body, they no longer produce energy as efficiently because estrogen is very, very supportive at helping us to produce energy efficiently in the brain and body cells. And so in perimenopause, even in the earlier stages, when we still have loads of estrogen, sometimes more than ever before, kind of early 40s to mid 40s, but because it's on a roller coaster, we get these sharp highs, these sharp drops. The sharp drops in that roller coaster trigger the same symptoms as if we were genuinely having that decline in estrogen levels overall. And so that's why as we move through perimenopause and the further we move through it, those cognition issues can really start to come to the forefront more and more. And it's one of the reasons why many women feel mentally foggy. So in your brain, you're feeling that brain fatigue, but even the physically drained feeling in the body. When we're seemingly doing everything right, or we haven't really changed anything. And it's often just chalked up to getting older, but there is a reason for it. And there's ways to help it. We can't just say, well, we're getting older. This is how it is. We're going to feel physically drained after exertion. We're going to feel mentally foggy. There are reasons why it's happening, and there are therefore things we can do to help it. And creatine supplementation is definitely one of them. So there's, like I said, so much more new research showing that creatine helps the brain and muscles make energy more efficiently, which can mean clearer thinking, better recovery from exertion, and improved strength. And like I said, we tend to think about creatine in terms of supporting workouts and muscle building, but it does so much more than that, particularly as we move into our 40s and through it. So creatine supports what's known as our mitochondria, which is the part of every cell in the body that creates ATP, adenosine triphosphate, which is basically your body's main source of energy. We just call it ATP. It's like the energy currency in the cell. And those little mitochondria in the cell is what makes that ATP. So in perimenopause, when we have the estrogen drops, like I said, whether it's in the roller coaster or that our overall levels are genuinely now starting to decline, then your mitochondria need more help and creatine helps them. Creatine also appears to play a role in mood and cognitive resilience. So your brain's ability to maintain normal, healthy function. In studies, women who supplemented with creatine had improved cognitive performance and reduced mental fatigue, brain fog as well. Their reaction time improved, their memory, their focus, all of these things improved. Some women even reported a steadier mood and better emotional resilience, which again, a big, big thing as we move through perimenopause is emotional resilience. And there's what's known as randomized control trials or RCTs, which are considered the gold standard when it comes to studying in medicine. And so these RCTs have looked at creatine for mood disorders, depression and anxiety, and all were lessened with creatine supplementation. Now, if you strength train, which hopefully you do, creatine helps preserve muscle mass, bone density, and overall metabolic health. And these are three key areas that we really need to support in midlife. And creatine is relatively cheap to keep up with compared to things like collagen, which is quite expensive. It usually comes with a significant monthly cost for a decent, trusted brand. Creatine's not necessarily like that. So with creatine, 3 to 5 grams a day is a good amount for most women. So that equates to just a small scoop of flavorless powder that you can simply mix into water, coffee, or a smoothie. It's safe, it's simple, it's relatively affordable, and it is well studied. I have heard of some people experiencing bloating or water retention with supplementation, but that usually happens if your dose is too high. At the 3 to 5 gram dose, you should be fine. Taken any time of the day, we don't have to be fussy about, it's got to be around my workout. Take it every day. If you do find that small scoop is making you feel bloated, then yeah, just take it down to half a scoop. See if you don't bloat. Then if you don't bloat, a half a scoop, and then maybe go up to 3/4 of a scoop. See if you still don't bloat. Great. Potentially that's your sweet spot. And it was just the full scoop that was too much and so on. And the key thing is consistency. So use it daily. Go for Crea Pure. So Crea Pure, that's C-R-E-A-P-U-R-E. Is a trademark term referring to a premium high purity form of creatine monohydrate produced by a specialist chemicals company in Germany. They're called Allschem Trostberg. And basically, Crea Pure is widely recognized as the gold standard for creatine because it ensures 99.99% purity, safety, and effectiveness with no unnecessary additives. So if you were to look up creatine, you'll probably find creatine monohydrate. And then you'll find creatine monohydrate that's actually called Crea Pure. So that's what you want to go for. It's going to be more expensive than the regular creatine monohydrate, but it's still relatively affordable compared to something like collagen. And it lasts ages because you're just taking 3 to 5 grams a day. I, for example, get mine from an online company called bulk.com. And if you type creatine in the search bar, you'll see creatine monohydrate powder, and then you'll see creatine monohydrate in brackets, Crea Pure with the trademark sign. So the Crea Pure one is, like I said, a little bit more expensive, but it's worth it for that extra purity reassurance and the fewer potential digestive issues if you're worried about that. So let's now talk about collagen. As Many women move into their 40s. It's very natural to start thinking about joints, skin, and healthy aging. So we've talked about cognition just now, mood, brain fatigue in terms of creatine. So hopefully that's given you some clarity on whether or not you would like to use it. I definitely would recommend it because it's supporting cognition, supporting mood, and supporting that all-important muscle maintenance and energy. So yes, it's an all-rounder for me. It's just a no-brainer to be using creatine. So with collagen, we're thinking about joint skin health. We want to keep that collagen in our skin so that we don't have that sagging, aging skin. We're looking at healthy aging. And whether that's because you're already noticing changes like achy joints or skin shifts, or simply because you just want to be proactive and age well, which many of us do. That's where collagen supplements come in, because they are everywhere right now. And the marketing is beautiful. There's some really lovely packaging out there. It's very persuasive, shoved in your face in your Instagram feed if you've so much as sniffed about collagen. And often though, collagen comes with a hefty price tag. You know, sometimes we're looking at 40 to 50 quid a month to maintain our collagen supplementation. So it is expensive to keep up with. And for most women, it's not the most impactful place to start. Creatine, on the other hand, could be. So that's definitely, and it's not 40 to 50 quid a month to keep up. What actually supports collagen production, joint health, bone health, and healthy aging is getting the foundations right. These foundations, for example, are a protein-rich diet, really, really important. Around 1.5 grams of protein per kilo of your body weight per day for most midlife women provides the amino acids that your body needs to make collagen in the body endogenously, not just for skin, but for bones, for tendons, for ligaments, and for muscles. So thinking about just making sure you have a protein-rich diet that you starts with breakfast, a good 30, 40 grams of protein with breakfast, with lunch, with dinner. Then there's sleep, stress management, emotional health, nervous system support, lifting weights, or even jump training or impact training. These are powerful evidence-backed drivers of bone density, joint resilience, and healthy aging. This is what we would call an anti-inflammatory lifestyle. It's far more important than any fancy supplement, and it's a lot cheaper. And so I just wouldn't be rushing out to buy the next glamorous package of collagen and trying to keep up with that cost every month. Even things like digestion, you know, digestive health matters way more than supplements. It's also worth remembering because when we are looking to digest protein properly, so let's say, you know, you're going to say, right, let me just focus on a protein-rich diet and save that 50 quid or 40 quid a month that I'm trying to spend on collagen. We do have to remember that adequate stomach acid is very important to enable us to digest protein properly and break it down into those different amino acids that help to maintain collagen. So simple habits here would be making sure we're chewing our foods properly. We're chewing every single mouthful slowly and mindfully before we swallow, before we put our next mouthful in. We are fully chewing and swallowing that first mouthful. You could add lemon juice or apple cider vinegar to your meals, onto your salads. You could drink a little bit of it before you start to eat. Using more slow cooked meats as well. So if you're thinking about the process of breaking down meats and animal foods, slow cooked meats are far easier to break down and absorb. So if you have a slow cooker, it can be so convenient to just throw in a whole load of, say, chicken thighs or some beef, some lamb, once or twice a week, and just cook up a big batch of slow cooked meats that can just be used in various meals throughout the week, in salads, in stir fries. So yeah, if you're not digesting your protein well, then having a collagen powder every day isn't going to magically fix that. So what does the science actually say about collagen supplements? So the nuance that often gets lost in marketing is that collagen supplements don't deliver directly to your skin or to your joints. Once we consume that powder, that collagen is broken down into amino acids and small peptides, so smaller molecules, during digestion, just like any other protein. But that being said, hydrolyzed collagen peptides, which is what we're most commonly seeing on the market, they do have some supportive evidence, particularly for joint pain and stiffness, skin elasticity, and tendon and connective tissue support. And the most studied collagen types, which is the most popular ones that you will see, are type 1, which is all about skin, bone, tendons, type 2, which is cartilage and joint health, and type 3, which is more for sort of skin and blood vessels. And you'll usually see a mix of two or three of those types in one product. So basically, collagen starts off whole, and most collagen supplements are in peptide form. So when I say whole collagen, I'm talking about collagen in its natural, intact form, the long protein strands that you'll find in things like gelatin or the connective tissue in meat. That's your whole collagen. But these collagen molecules, they're quite large, which means your digestive system has to work harder to break them down before they can be absorbed. And if that doesn't happen, then they're not going to be absorbed, and then we're not sort of going to get the benefits from that collagen as much. So you can think of whole collagen like a long necklace. Your body has to break it apart before it can use it. And collagen peptides, on the other hand, these are like the smaller links in that necklace that have already been broken apart, they've already been separated, so it's easier for the body to handle and absorb and use and get the benefits from. But the effects are still modest and still slow. They work best alongside the foundations that we've just talked about, the adequate protein coming in all your meals. Also, vitamin C helps to boost the power of collagen in the body, resistance training so that you're building muscle, strength training, and good sleep. And of course, the emotional health side of things as well. So collagen can be supportive, but it isn't foundational. And it's not essential for most women. But I would say if you're struggling to keep up with your collagen and or worried where to put your money in terms of supplementation, and maybe you're prioritizing collagen over other things, then, I mean, I always just say to people, if you have the very, very easy, no stress budget to afford a good quality collagen and you want to use that every day, there is absolutely no harm in that. But I wouldn't be stressing about making sure you can have collagen, you can afford to keep up with collagen and have it in your, you know, in your regime. I would really just be focusing more so on those foundational pieces, because they can be just, if not, you know, just as helpful, if not more. And until we get much more research into of collagen and how effective it is, that's what I would recommend. And I would prioritize creatine for sure, because there is so much research on that. And if it can support with mood, cognition, brain fog, brain energy, muscle energy to the body, and muscle mass, which is very foundational for supporting bone density, then I would definitely be looking to put your money at the creatine and your basic supplements that can be supportive in perimenopause, which I'll talk about in a separate episode. But to outline some of those, it would be a good quality methylated B complex, good quality omega-3, EPA, DHA fish oil. If you're not eating at least 4 to 5 portions of oily fish per week, then those would be more beneficial in terms of where to put your money. I also want to touch briefly on turmeric, because it's another very popular one, you know, when we're thinking about anti-inflammatory and supporting joint health and aches and pains. Because turmeric is very helpful. Using fresh turmeric root, so just buying your fresh turmeric root in the supermarket and grating it into salads, stir fries, or made into the golden milk at home with maybe some oat milk or almond milk, that's a fantastic way to bring more anti-inflammatory compounds into your diet. And also remember that turmeric is absorbed better when it's with black pepper. So if you are using it in the dietary ways, then also include a pinch of black pepper alongside it to help with that absorption. But if you do want to choose or think about a turmeric supplement, then always make sure you're looking for formulations that address curcumin's poor absorption. So curcumin is the active compound in turmeric. What you're looking for is a turmeric supplement in a lipid-based form, or it could be called curcumin, either one. In a lipid-based, so fat-based form, like there's BCM95 or Mareva. Ideally with piperine. So you don't have to know what I mean, but maybe just write down, you know, if you're looking for a turmeric supplement or a curcumin supplement, BCM95 or Mareva, and ideally look for it with piperine. So basically that's the black pepper component that helps with the absorption of it. These are the most researched forms of turmeric supplementation, particularly for joint pain and inflammation, often used at around 500 milligrams twice a day. But again, supplementing with turmeric with these well-researched forms at 500 milligrams twice a day can be really expensive to maintain, and they're not a replacement for lifestyle habits. It's that bigger picture again that really matters. There's no supplement that can override poor sleep, chronic stress, emotional dysregulation, unhappy or unsafe relationships, or you know, financial issues, a diet low in protein and micronutrients. And anti-inflammatory diet that's rich in oily fish, olive oil, nuts, seeds, quality protein at, like I said, 1.5 grams per kilo of body weight per day as a minimum, colorful vegetables, herbs, spices, berries, and complex fiber-rich carbohydrates. That's going to do more for your brain, your joints, your long-term health than collagen powders alone or just taking turmeric. And honestly, happiness, joy, meaningful relationships, feeling safe in your body, these are some of the most powerful anti-inflammatory interventions we have. So in a nutshell, your anti-inflammatory diet or your anti-inflammatory lifestyle is really about that, like that diet that I just explained, and looking at your emotional health and the sense of safety that you feel within your body and within your environment. Those are the most powerful anti-inflammatory things you can be doing. There's no point having all the fancy supplements if you're stuck in a stressful, unsatisfying situation where you're unhappy, because that's just going to drive inflammation faster than collagen can ever even counteract. So as we wrap up, I hope this episode's been helpful to bring a little bit more clarity and calm to the chaotic supplement conversation that we see online. Creatine and collagen, they're both popular for good reasons, but they work best when they're used intentionally rather than reactively, rather than looking at these foundational habits that, you know, often are free or very low cost. And then if we can make them long-term habits, the compound effect, beneficial effect over time of those, these new good habits is, you know, insane how it just continues to compound and compound over time, month on month, year on year, how much better we can start to feel once we've got these good foundations in place. Creatine, as I've said, is one of the most well-researched tools that we have for protecting muscle, brain health, mood, and energy as we age. It's cheaper to keep up with, and I do recommend adding it in for midlife health if you can. Remember, look for the CreaPure, a trademarked version of creatine monohydrate, 3 to 5 grams a day. Mix it into water, smoothies, coffee. Collagen can be supportive, particularly for joints and connective tissue, but it's never a substitute for having adequate protein, good quality movement, sleep, and nervous system and emotional care. Healthy aging, it's not built on expensive supplements and powders. It's really built on daily habits, consistency, and reducing inflammation. That's at its root. But this kind of stuff doesn't sell. You know, these supplement companies aren't going to make their money by letting you know that these daily habits and consistency is what's at the root of supporting all of these various areas of our health and healthy aging. It doesn't sell. And it's boring to a lot of people. Oh, whatever. You know, they just want the next best powder or pill that they can be taking to support XYZ. But the truth is, healthy aging is built on daily habits and consistency with them. And if you're feeling overwhelmed by supplements or wondering where to focus your energy, then come back to these basics. Get these foundations in place, and then supplements can become just that, supportive extras, supplements, not essentials. They're never essentials. They are supplementary to an already, you know, good foundational lifestyle. And that's obviously what I teach. The Midlife Thrive membership is literally this. It, if you're inside that membership and you stay in for as long as you need, as little as you need, you may decide you want to stay in your entire perimenopause journey, and it's £39 a month. So, you know, for that, you get a whole load of value. So hopefully that can help it to be a bit more of a no-brainer. And you've basically got support, coaching, Q&A, up to date, valid, science backed information and education at your fingertips at any one time. And it's all about these foundational habits, getting them and really supporting you to get those in place from all different angles. And because it's an ongoing membership, you don't just have this limited amount of time to work through everything. You can focus on, let's say, emotional health first for as long as you need. Then you can move into the protein side of things for as long as you need. Then you can move into whatever the next step may be, focusing on sleep and so on and so on, until eventually, over time, you've got all of these foundations in place and you are feeling wonderful, is what I would say. And then on top of that, after a time, you can say, right, well, this is great. And now what supplements could be supportive extras for me? And then be, with my help, be very discerning on what those supplements are and keep it basic, you know, keep it clarity driven all the time. So if you feel called to join the Midlife Thrive membership, the link is in the show notes to join, or you can go to my website, francescaliparotti.com. You can also, when you get to my website, you can take my new free quiz. The link in the show notes is to that as well. And that this is a wonderful, it's 36 questions, in-depth questions. It'll take you about 2.5 minutes to go through. And it's a really great way to not only learn or get an idea of where, what sort of stage of perimenopause you're currently in, but it also gives you the foundational, the most important foundational areas of health for you to be focusing on first, based on the answers to your questions. So do go over to my website to take the quiz. And then from there, if you do feel called to join the membership, the information for that is also on the website or in the show notes. As always, thank you for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye-bye. If you enjoyed this episode, come and join me inside the Midlife Thrive membership. It's where I share my best resources, deeper education and coaching support to help you navigate perimenopause and beyond with clarity and confidence. Head to francescaliparotti.com/midlife-thrive-membership or check the link in the show notes, and I'll look forward to welcoming you into the community.